Take your Bibles, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and we're going to read responsibly here. We're going to read verses 11 through 21. Romans chapter 5, the New Testament there. Romans chapter 5, verses 11 through 21. And we'll read it responsibly. I'll read the odd verses. You'll read the even verses and together with me. And we'll pause at any punctuation that is present. Romans chapter 5, verses 11 through 21. Let's begin. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that is to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, by the righteous of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And let's pray. Lord God, we do thank you so much, Lord, for the Bible that we have to be able to learn about this eternal life. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for the sacrifice that you paid, Lord, to give us this gift, a free eternal gift of life in heaven. Lord, I thank you so much for the people that have gathered today. Lord, I know we all have problems, we all have circumstances, Lord, that are present in our life. But help us now, Lord, to clear our minds, help our hearts to be open and ready to receive the Word of God. I ask you, please guide us now. Would you just please direct all that's done today? Lord, would it give you honor and glory? In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you. May be seated.
To our visitors, you're in an old-fashioned Baptist church. You got an old-fashioned and old Baptist preacher. I've been preaching this July 31st. It'll be 44 years I will have been preaching. Shut up. Yeah, but at least I still have my sanity, and you didn't have any to lose. I'm not afraid to preach the gospel. God ordained me to be a preacher of the gospel, and today I'll preach the gospel. And I want you to hear it in clarity today. I promise you, I am not speaking opinion. I promise you, I'm not giving you what a church book says. I'm going to give you what the God book says. The only book God ever wrote is the King James Bible for the English-speaking people. And I want to help you today. Here in Romans chapter 5, it talks about sin coming by one and justification coming by another. Let me give you the background here and let me help you. Adam was the first person God made. We didn't evolve. We didn't come from a tadpole or a one single celled amoeba. The definition of evolution doesn't even qualify as science. Science requires observation and repeatability. No one has ever observed millions and millions of years, first of all. Second of all, it's never been repeated that way. Therefore, it's not even real science. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
That was just the beginning. Don't get mad. God made Adam from the dust of the ground.
That's
We're nothing but a pile of dirt. By the way, that's why we ought not be comparing dirt with dirt. You know, Brother Mike's pile of dirt's a little bigger than my pile of dirt. But guess what? Still dirt, isn't it, Brother Mike? That means this. Let's not worry about our dirt. Dirt is still dirt. But when God made Adam in God's likeness. That means this. We were made in his image and in his likeness. God made us with a body. That's this wonderful specimen you see. A soul, that is my ability and your ability to communicate with each other. That's your emotions. That's the person. That's your mind. Some of you, it's too weak to wander, so don't worry. But our soul is that which allows us to communicate with each other, and then the spirit. The spirit is that which allows us to communicate with God. But something happened. God came to Adam and said, Adam, you can eat of everything in the garden. You can do pretty much so whatever you like. I'll help you run the world. I'll teach you about it, all those things. But Adam, you just can't take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. Well, along came old Smutty Face, the devil. He got Eve involved and played on her emotions. He said, Eve, look at it. It's beautiful. It's good. Smell it. Taste it. Matter of fact, it's so good that if you eat of it, you could be as gods, knowing good and evil. You could be your own God and decide for yourself right and wrong. She ate of it. She gave to Adam, who was standing right beside her. I don't think she did it in private and came to him and said, Adam, I think I messed up. No, he was standing right there with her. He allowed her to do wrong and followed her in wrong. And leadership was credited with the sin. Now listen to me. Did Adam and Eve's body die that day? No, they did not. Matter of fact, Adam lived a total of 950 years. He lived many hundreds of years after he sinned. Did his soul die? Did his ability to communicate with everybody in the world die? It did not. So what died? His spirit. His spirit died. Did you know because of that? Because Adam sinned, we are all sinners. We have all been born into sin. Now everybody listen to this statement. It's going to sound contrary to the world, but that means it'll be right. You don't have to teach a child to sin. Did you know you don't have to teach a child to lie? We do that naturally, don't we? You don't have to teach a kid to do wrong. They'll figure it out on their own real good. You see, it just proves that we're all born into sin. In other words, and I'm going to use a word here, and I'm going to show you how that it's a scriptural word, but our genetics are sinful by nature. We have a sinful spiritual genetics. Now everybody look at me for just a second here. That's why when a person gets saved, God says you need to be regenerated. It literally is the word regeneticized. Because our genetics are genetics of death, not genetics of life. Now, let me help you for a moment. God made man in his likeness. That means man was made to live forever. Man is an eternal being. Because of sin, death has come. Not because of God. Because of sin.
Yes, sir.
That means this. You have an eternal body, an eternal soul, and an eternal spirit. But the day of sin brought death to the spirit. That's why in John chapter 3, the Bible says when Nicodemus came to Jesus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Ye must be born again.
Yes, sir.
You're not supposed to go back into your mama and get rebirthed physically. Women, you ought to be thankful for that. And men, there ain't no way we'd want to do that. So it's not our body. Our soul can't be rebirthed. It is our spirit that has to be rebirthed.
Yes, sir.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. And if you look at that passage of John chapter 3, there's two different spirits there. One's capital S, one's small s. Capital S is God's spirit. Small s is our spirit. Now watch this. Eternity is not based on your body. Eternity is not based on your soul. Eternity is based on your spirit. Now, I'm not trying to make anybody mad here. I probably will, but it's okay. Most of religion is based on the body or the soul. Most religion is, well, you have to do these things and that will merit you enough goodness to enter heaven. How many people have told me through the years, hopefully I've done enough good to outweigh the bad. In other words, you're trusting your body or your soul, not the spirit. You can no more get to heaven by what you do with your body or your soul than, let me put it this way, no more than your dog could have a horse for a puppy. Can I tell you why? Two different kinds of life. Spiritual life is not physical. Spiritual life is not soul or emotion. Spiritual life is of the spirit, not of man. So it has to be something spiritual, not something physical. Not something of our personality or of our emotion. Shoot, I've heard these yardbird preachers get up, well, if you didn't really mean it, then you didn't really get it. Well, you got a hole in your head big enough to drive twin Mack trucks. How can you know what meaning with all your heart is? I got saved at 4.5 years old at Camp Baptist Temple, Canton, Ohio. I've learned a whole lot since then, but I'm just as saved now as I was that day.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay? Now, here's the sermon. That was the introduction. Sin is the universal law upon all humans, which is death. The universal law of sin is death. Now, I want to show you something here. Romans chapter 8, if you still have your Bible, but don't jump to it because I'm there and I don't have time and I'm like a racehorse and the gate just opened, so hang on. Romans chapter 8 verse 2 says, "For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." The eternal law that has to be kept is the law of sin and death, not the law of Moses. Uh-oh. Do you realize there was 2,700 years between the law of sin and death and the law of Moses? How could people for 2,700 years keep the law of Moses if it were not there? Well, I've kept the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were the constitution for the Hebrew nation in the wilderness. Had nothing to do with going to heaven. Everybody doing okay? God makes it very clear. Look at Romans chapter 6. Verse I use very often. Soul winners use this verse a lot. And this is where the whole sermon comes from. Romans chapter 6, look at the last verse, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death.
Yes, sir.
But the gift of God, watch this, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The title of the sermon is this: the wages of sin is death. God tells us here that there are wages attached to sin. Now hang on for just a second. I'm about to shout. Wages are a regular fixed payment, salary, agreed upon payment for service rendered. Your paycheck. Now watch this. Here's the truth. Here's where I'm going to shout. There is a set wage or payment for sin. That's death. But there are no wages for us to pay for salvation.
Amen.
You can't pay your way to heaven.
Amen.
You can't earn your way to heaven.
Amen.
There's nothing you can do in your body or your soul to get to heaven. My friend, the Bible says that for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Amen.
And as we read through Romans 5, you saw by the disobedience of one, many were made sinners. But by the righteousness of one, many were made just.
Amen.
Don't worry, I didn't crack it. I didn't even feel it, all right? Some of you visitors went, I don't even know why I do it until I see your face go. It just is what I am. I told you I'm a racehorse and they just opened the gate, amen? You see, there is a fixed wage to sin, which is death and hell. Now it's going to come unscrewed. Wages are paid for by the employer. God didn't say you receive the wages, you pay the wages. That means you are the employer of death and hell because of sin. Because you're of your father, the devil, so am I. Not that one, but spiritually. Whew, thought I better say that. I got to take him to my house for lunch, amen? John chapter 8, verse 44. I'm going to read two verses to you. You need not turn there. But John chapter 8, verses 44 and 45. I'll get there right now. Bible says, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe not. We have believed the lie of the devil way too long. You don't get to heaven by joining a church. You don't get to heaven by getting baptized. You don't get to heaven by buying candles and lighting candles. You don't get to heaven by taking the Lord's Supper and doing sacraments and doing whatever religion says you must do. Those are the works of the flesh. They are not spiritual. I am not being critical. I'm being very honest with you, and I will preach you the truth. You have nothing to say about your wages because you're a sinner. Those were agreed upon in the Garden of Eden and when you were conceived, that there are wages attached to sin, which is death and hell. God told man, don't do that, because the moment you do, you become the employer of the law of sin and death. So, the universal law is not the Ten Commandments. That's why our forefathers hung them in the courthouses, not the church houses. They're civil law. Well, what about the priestly laws? That was government also. What about the moral laws? Okay, sanitation laws. That had nothing to do with going to heaven. Food had nothing to do with going to heaven. Too much of it gets you there too fast. Too little of it gets you there too fast. But either way, we're going there, amen? And there will be food in heaven. Glory to God. You see, we are born in sin, therefore we're of our father, the devil. He is a liar and the father of it. And he was a murderer from the beginning. Say, what do you mean a murderer? Because he knew that sin causes death and he got man to sin. And every human being that dies goes on the devil's record as a murderer. God gave Moses the laws for the Hebrew nation, but they were not spiritual laws. They were laws for man to get along with man as a nation, just like our Constitution. These laws were not ways to heaven. If that's the fact, listen to me very carefully. You say, well, you have to keep the Ten Commandments to go to heaven. Then Moses died and went to hell because he was a murderer. Thou shalt not kill. Everybody doing okay? So obviously, his going to heaven was not based on the Ten Commandments. Somebody say amen. So we'll make sure you're still there. I want to give you three or four thoughts today, and I promise you we'll be done in the next 15 to 20 minutes. But listen to me. The wages of sin prove, I promise, the wages of sin prove we are all sinners. Proof that you're a sinner, you're going to die. Proof that I'm a sinner, I'm going to die. Romans chapter 6, 23 said, for the wages of sin is death. Romans 6, 18 says, being then made free from sin, ye become servants of righteousness. Isn't it interesting? Romans 5:14 makes the statement for us so very well. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. In other words, it can't be the Mosaic law that got anybody to heaven, because it was 2,800 years down the road. What everybody calls the law, they don't even know what the law is. And according to Scripture, Romans 8:2 says it is the law of sin and death. We are all going to face death without exception. 3.5 years ago, I stood here and my mother's casket lay right there with my mother's body in it, and I preached my own mother's funeral. I've preached hundreds of funerals. After 43, almost 44 years of preaching, I've preached a lot of funerals. Guess what? I've never met somebody that's 6,000 or 7,000 years old, have you? So I guess we're all going to die. Say why? Because we're all sinners. Proof you're a sinner, you're going to die. Here's the part, though, that I want you to get. Death is foreign to our body. If you've ever watched someone die, it's often a bit of a struggle. Can I tell you why? Because God didn't make this body to die. It's going through the pains of death, and it shouldn't have to. That struggle is because God made it to die and sin is overtaking the body. I've watched some pretty tough deaths. I have. I've watched some very precious ones. But it's still death. But isn't it amazing, to those who have trusted Christ as their Savior, God says that you pass from death to life, not life to death. When my mama took her last breath on December 16th, three years ago plus, she didn't die. She just started eternal life. Amen. She just started really living. This was practice. She's in the big leagues now. See, when she took her last breath here, she took her first breath at heaven. Brother Scott was with you when your mama took her last breath. I never saw a lady struggle quite so hard for breathing for about 24 hours. Honestly, it was one of the harshest deaths I've experienced. But when she took that last one, there was no more struggle. There wasn't. Say, why? Because she woke up in glory saying, "Well, glory!" Amen. Then there's Jimbo. Amen? God bless Brother Jimbo. He was my buddy. Now, visitors, don't take this offensively, but Jimbo was just a good old redneck. Amen. They didn't make him any better than Jimbo. I had a little battle one day. He said, "Preacher, I can go take care of him." I said, "Jimbo, what are you going to do?" He said, "I'm not going to tell you that because you won't let me do it." I said, "Jimbo, you might end up in jail." He said, "I know how to get out. Don't worry, preacher." That was Jimbo. Amen. But when Jimbo was dying, we thought he took his last breath and everybody's around his bed and everybody was kind of crying a little bit. About 30 seconds later, Jimbo goes, Loretta looked at him. Everybody kind of stepped back. About another 30 seconds, he goes, and Loretta in her sweet voice said, "Are you done yet?" We couldn't take it again, amen? And I started laughing. I said, "He's going out his way. That's Jimbo." Wait a minute. I've seen some precious moments. I've seen some pretty tough ones. But I've never seen anybody live forever here. It's proof we're all sinners. It is. Number two, there's more to death than just your body. God made us body, soul, and spirit. All three components are eternal. Not just one. All three were as made as eternal as God is. My friend, according to the book of Revelation, chapter 20, you need not turn there, I'll read it to you, verse number 11. The Bible says this, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." I wished I could tell you that there's no such place as hell. But I can't. There are some that say, "Well, this earth is hell." No, this earth is not hell. Hell is much worse than this earth. Hell is a place of eternal punishment for the body, the soul, and the spirit of those who reject salvation. It's not a matter of God hating you. It's a matter of you rejecting what God gave you. Hell is the exact opposite of heaven. Jesus is the light of the world and the light of heaven. Hell is total darkness. Heaven is a place of security with 12 gates and a wall. Hell is a place of eternal falling. No security. Heaven is a place of joy and peace and love. Hell is a place of bitterness, anger, weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. Heaven is a place where there'll be no tears. I hate to tell you this. Hell is a place of fire and torture, anger. I was a young man early in my ministry. I was in California. I led a man to Christ under an oxygen tent. Just before he died, I mean, less than 2 minutes before he died. And he grabbed my hand. He said, "Pastor, I see Jesus." I said, "Yes, you do, buddy." And I felt that hand just relax, and he went to heaven. A couple months later, I was back at the same hospital. A man lost and on his way to hell was dying. I begged and I pleaded, I begged and I pleaded, I begged and I pleaded with him to get saved. The machines began to shut down and he began to scream. He began to, and the nurse said, "What's wrong?" And he began to scream as loud as he could. "Oh my God, I'm on fire. Oh my God, I'm in hell. I'm in hell." And he began to scream as he died. I've watched him go both ways. I've seen the latter of those too many times. I've watched people know they're dying and going to hell. Don't tell me there's no hell. You know, you can go down Route 9 here to Eastern Regional Jail. You can go down there and visit people. But did you know the people that live there don't want to stay there? It's a nice building. It's a beautiful setting. But once you're in there, you don't get back out till the sentence is over. When you die and go to hell, there's no getting out because the sentence is eternal. By the way, that's exactly what sin does to you. That's what drugs will do to somebody. It lures them in and they're judged by it. That's what alcohol and smoking and lying does to people. You get drawn into it and you just don't seem to be able, but once you get the Spirit of God inside you, you have the wherewithal to conquer it. My Bible says, "Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world." So, the wages of sin proves that we're all sinners. There's more to death than just your body dying. Your body, your soul, and your spirit are eternal, and they go forever somewhere, either to heaven or to hell. There is no in between. The moment you take your last breath, that's when judgment comes. But number three, I'm on the home stretch. I'm about to kick it in gear. My friend, there are no wages attached to salvation for you and me. Jesus paid for them in full. You cannot pay your own way to heaven. You cannot earn your own way to heaven. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, according to the scripture, he not only came and paid for our sin, but he lived our righteousness that we could not live because of sin. Galatians 2:16 says this, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." I didn't say it, God did. Galatians 3:11, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident the just shall live by faith." Well, I think that you have to do your best, preacher. You cannot pay for sin, but you can also, you'll pay for your sin, but you can't pay for your salvation. Amen. There are wages attached to sin. Jesus came and paid the wages for your salvation. Amen. By the way, Jesus is the Lamb of God. Amen. Bible says in the Gospel of John, John the Baptist looked and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Amen. By the way, he was our Lamb. He went to Calvary as our Lamb. about to come unscrewed. Revelation chapter 19, you don't need to turn there, verse number 13. I'm going to read it to you. The Bible says this: "And he was clothed with a vesture, dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God." Amen. By the way, that's Jesus. Because according to John chapter 1, verse number 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." And John 1:14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus is the Word of God. Don't mess with the Bible. You're messing with Jesus. We don't need a new Bible. We need to read the old one. We need to believe the old one, not man's words. But I want you to notice something. He comes back, and when he comes back, he's in a vesture dipped in blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Whose blood is on his vesture? It is his blood. Say, why is it on his vesture? Because he doesn't have scars. He has open wounds. And that hole in his side from where they put that spear caused the vesture of his clothing to be blood red. It's dipped in his own blood.
Amen.
A rattlesnake bit one of the farmer's sheep in the face. It was the deadliest snake that lived in the area. The sheep's face was swollen and hurt, but the old rattler didn't know the type of blood that ran through that sheep. The antidote for a snake bite usually is made from sheep's blood. The sheep was swollen for about 2 days, but the blood of the lamb destroyed the serpent's venom. I was worried, but the sheep didn't care. It kept eating, kept drinking, stayed with the herd, stayed with the flock, and he knew he was fine. My friend, that old serpent, the devil, can bite you, and the sting and the pain of death and sin may come. But when you have the blood of the Lamb applied to your account, bless God, there's no more death.
Amen.
None. There's nothing you can do to earn your salvation.
Yes.
Nothing. Your baptism gets you wet. Your church membership can't do anything for you. Yeah, if you stood in your garage, you don't become a car. So it doesn't matter what building you're in. Everybody doing okay? It's foolish to think your eternity is based on what building you go to.
Amen.
That's kind of silly, isn't it? Well, I'll give enough money. You can't give enough money to conquer death. Well, I'll live a good life. You can't live good enough because you're a sinner. Well, I'll be good to others. You can't be good enough. It's not by righteousness which we have done, but by his righteousness.
Yes.
The price has already been paid. And you don't qualify to pay it.
Right.
I don't qualify to pay it. I was sitting in the meeting for the variance at the county office Thursday, and about 25 or 30 of our folks were there. And it wasn't a bad meeting at all, but the one fella got a little bit, in my opinion, a little stupid with me.
Yeah.
And he looked at me and he said, "So, Pastor, do you feel like you're being crucified?" I said, "Oh, no, sir. I don't compare myself to the Savior."
Amen.
I said, I won't put myself on that level. I said, "I feel like you're trying to tie my hands behind my back, but I will not compare myself to the Savior." Our church folks were kind of cheering and snickering. That guy didn't know what to say. He didn't. He was like, Say why? Because I don't claim to be God. I can't speak ex cathedra in the place of God. I can give you God's words, and no pope or pimp or anybody else can speak ex cathedra. I don't care if he's got a $500,000 grapefruit on his head or not. He's just as much a sinner as you and I are. How do you know? Because he's going to die. No sinner can forgive your sin. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can take your sin away. Here's the good part. He didn't just die as the Lamb. They put him in a tomb, and 3 days and three nights later, he conquered death. Amen. Matter of fact, the Bible says he took the keys from the devil, and the keys were the keys of death and hell. He paid the price to own the keys. And he resurrected as our high priest. Why is that important? Well, had he only been the sacrifice, we'd have all died and gone to hell. But the blood of Jesus Christ didn't trickle to the foot of the cross in representation. The high priest had to go into heaven and go into the Holy of Holies, Revelation chapter 20, into the true tabernacle, had to pass through the candlestick and the table of showbread, the altar of incense, go into the Holy of Holies, and the Ark of the Covenant of God is there in heaven, and he had to put his own blood on the mercy seat, and he looked at the Father and said, "It is finished, it's paid for."
Amen.
It's not just the shed blood of Jesus, it's the applied blood of Jesus.
Amen.
I'm not against people wearing a cross, but the cross is only one part of the gospel. That's the physical side. How come people don't wear an empty tomb around their neck?
Amen.
More appropriate. How come you don't have a cross in the church, preacher? Because he got up out of the grave. The cross was just part of it.
Amen.
I serve a risen Savior.
Amen.
If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you could do it today. It's not becoming a Baptist. It's realizing you're a sinner. And that because you're a sinner, there's a penalty on sin, which is death and hell. And that Jesus came and paid that price. So the question is, how do we get it? Romans chapter 10 tells us very clearly. Romans chapter 10, you need not read it. Let me read it to you. Verse number 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You have to get to the point where you realize you're a sinner, your sin has death and hell on it, and that you need somebody to pay your sin debt for you. How do you do it? You submit to the righteousness of God. How do I do that? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also the Greek. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
One day three crosses stood. Our Savior was in the middle. Two thieves on either side. One said, if you're the Son of God, get us down. Take us from this torture of our bodies. The other said, Lord, I wished I was going where you're going. And he said, son, do you believe on what I'm doing for you? Yes, sir. This day shalt thou be with me in paradise. One believed, one rejected. One went to hell, two went to heaven.
Amen.
Whew. Let me ask you a question. Which one are you today? Which one are you today? Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Please, no moving. I need everybody's attention. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody leaving, nobody going anywhere. Just listen. Who would say, preacher, if I died today, I'm 100% sure I'd go to heaven when I die. I've trusted Christ. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you for your honesty. I promise you, I will never embarrass you. I'll not come to you. I'll not call your name. I would never embarrass you. But you say, preacher, I don't know that for sure. I'm going to do something just a little different. For those of you that don't know that for sure, right where you sit, would you tell the Lord something like this? Say, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. I know that because I'm a sinner, there's death and hell on my life. But I trust Jesus and what he did to take me to heaven. Thank you for saving me. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Who would say, preacher, I just did that. Would you raise your hand? There's one, two, three, four, another, five, six. Thank you. You may put them down, seven.